go tug?
Good morning, Your Honor. Scott Blankenship here with Rick Goldsworthy and Brian Long. Outside law.
How much time would you like to reserve?
4 minutes, Your Honor. This is a case where outside law and juror misconduct and error deprived Mr. Long of fair trial. It can't be disputed that extrinsic expert opinion in the form of outside law was brought into this case, and it's clear from Clausing that there's only one person who gets to give an expert opinion on the law, and that is the trial court. In this case, the misconduct substantially prejudiced Mr. Long by unfairly giving defendants a legitimate non-retaliatory reason for taking adverse actions against Mr. Long. And this was a silver bullet. This was a case where the defendant's anger at Mr. Long for hiring someone with a prosthetic leg was evident. But the evidence was not that Mr. Long violated Coast Guard laws or other laws by hiring somebody with a prosthetic leg. But this juror misconduct ended up giving a basis for that anger, such a powerful basis that the jury, that I don't know that we'd be here in this case if this false law, Coast Guard and maritime law, would not allow someone with a prosthetic leg on the boat. And each of the cases that have looked at this issue have found when there's outside law, there's not a case in Washington where outside law was inserted and it did not result in prejudice. The court also abused its discretion because he did not make an objective inquiry.
Are there particular cases you're relying on for that proposition?
For the proposition of outside law? Yes. It would be Adkins, Boughton-Perkins, State v. Clausing, and I think State v. Clausing is an important case because that was a case where a pharmacist brought an expert law. Unlike this case, there was an ability for the judge to instruct the jury. There was an ability to fight that evidence with objections and everything else. This was done in secret. This was not subject to objections or rebuttal. It was something that occurred that violated the judge's instructions when this juror was impaneled, and that spread to the other jurors that were saying that he, in fact, violated the law. The cases that defendants cite don't stand for any different proposition. Breckenridge is completely distinguishable. Breckenridge is a case where a juror relied on medical records and applied their opinion to medical records. That was not extrinsic. Indeed, every case that involves extrinsic evidence, like this extrinsic evidence, misconduct is presumed. And the court's finding that the facts of this case objectively did not impact the verdict is a subjective analysis. And the correct result here is a new trial.
Because this is an abuse of discretion standard, is it not?
Well, I think it could. I think there's an argument that it would be a de novo review, but he clearly abused his discretion here in denying a new trial, which should be given less deference than granting a new trial, by not considering. He lists in his order the elements that Mr. Long has to prove. One of the key elements are motive. This goes to the very, very heart of motive. If Mr. Long violated the law and endangered safety of the crew, then that is a legitimate non-retaliatory reason, but that wasn't the evidence in the case. There was also error not admitting ER 904 documents. One in particular was a note that went to the very heart of pretext.
And before you move on, just back on the jury misconduct
sure.
for a bit. I believe that opposing counsel are arguing that Brusco did not really at trial deny that it would be discrimination with respect to refusing to hire somebody with a prosthetic leg. Is that, in your view, correct?
No, I don't think it is correct. I think in a reply brief we pointed out that they said we had to prove each of the burdens. Although I think the discrimination issue is a red herring. Whether or not Mr. Morgan was discriminated against is not the inquiry. It's whether or not the defendant had a legitimate non-discriminatory or non-retaliatory reason. And clearly, if you violated, it went to his managerial skills, it went to his judgment, and that was a big part of the case, because he was reassigned to the ocean, supposedly because he didn't have the managerial skills. So we, in our reply brief, addressed the fact that they did talk about discrimination, that they didn't waive that issue, and that was a point. So I don't even think that's a true statement.
Well, the reason I ask is because it has to do with the trial court's reasoning about the denial of the new trial and saying that he didn't think that there was extrinsic evidence, but even if there was, it wasn't material.
Yeah, and I think it couldn't be any more material. I think it's a silver bullet. I wouldn't have taken the case.
What do you mean when you say it's a silver bullet?
Meaning if a port manager violated the law and put the crew at risk by putting someone on board with the prosthetic leg, then the anger that the jury saw by Bo Brusco would be justified.
The anger that the jury saw, whose anger was?
Bo Brusco, and it's in the brief, pointing at him and saying, I was angry when that guy, I would have immediately reassigned him if I'd known he knowingly put somebody on the boat with a prosthetic leg.
Whose anger are you talking about? The CEO's anger.
The
CEO of Brusco was angry?
That he hired someone with a prosthetic leg.
Okay.
And what the juror did is provided...
And expressed this anger at trial?
Yes. And the alternative theory that the juror was able to present, that was well-founded if Mr. Long had violated the law, all maritime laws on the books.
Okay.
Thank you.
May it please the court, my name is Colin Folon. I represent Bo Brusco and Brusco Tug and Barge Incorporated. We ask that you affirm in all respects. Appellant has essentially raised two categories of issues. One is alleged juror misconduct, the other is a handful of evidentiary rulings. All four issues are governed by an abuse of discretion standard. And appellant has utterly failed to establish that Judge Downing abused his discretion in any way. Going to the issue of the alleged juror misconduct, this jury did exactly what juries are supposed to do. They paid attention. They were engaged, and they recognized they were dealing with an important case. And in the jury room, they engaged in discourse and reached a verdict. Appellant argues that because one juror drew from life experience and mentioned some reference to maritime, Navy, or Coast Guard law without any specificity, that alone should undo a verdict that followed a 2.5-week trial.
Okay, but let's get into the particulars. Counsel's just saying that the CEO of Brusco was angry and showed this anger at the trial to the jury. He was angry about the hiring of, was the fellow's name Morgan, who had the prosthetic leg?
Anthony Morgan.
And so then you have this juror who said, well, I know that you can't have somebody like that. You can't have somebody with a prosthetic leg on deck. The regulations are all against it. Isn't that what the affidavits say?
Most of the affidavits say the juror 12 said, I know of no law that, et cetera, et cetera.
I know of no law that
would allow somebody on a boat, or references to Coast Guard law or Navy law or maritime law. And they're not specific,
right.
The
thrust is there that, you know, the CEO of Brusco was angry and wanted to fire him because, you know, he was trying to put the crews at risk.
But, Your Honor, the question about whether that is an effect from extrinsic law misses the point. A juror is able to draw on life experience to make a judgment on evidence.
That's true. It's a close argument here. I mean, the thing is, you can't bring in extrinsic evidence, okay? But even if you do, it's got to be material in some way. So what are you arguing? That there was no extrinsic evidence, or that there was but it wasn't material?
Both. In this case,
do one at a time.
Absolutely. In this case, it was not what we would consider to be extrinsic evidence, because it was precisely like the life experience of the occupational therapist in the Richards case, somebody who had some medical training, and with her eyes that she brought with her into her courtroom, her life experience, approached the medical records that were in evidence in a certain way.
Yeah, but in that case, there wasn't a 20 to 30 minute dissertation.
Well, we don't know how long her spending time with the medical records were. And even if it was 20, 30, 40 minutes, the length of a juror's discourse, and here's in the verdict, and that's not something that creates a basis for a new trial. But that occupational therapist reviewed records and had a background that other jurors didn't. Now, her background was disclosed in voir dire, just as Juror 12's background in maritime was disclosed in voir dire as well. And I think that's an important distinction. And so when we talk about what's extrinsic or not, we have to make a distinction between life experience and something external. And I think we see that in the cases as well. We see that in the Breckenridge case, in which a medical malpractice case about failure to diagnose, where the physician diagnosed migraine, and the plaintiff's allegation where you should have conducted the CT scan. Well, one of the jurors in that case was married to somebody who suffered from migraines and said to the jury, my wife goes to the ER all the time. I've never heard anybody say anything about a CT scan. And ultimately, the court said, that's not extrinsic evidence of the kind that we're concerned about. That's the kind of life experience that you bring with you. Again, disclosed in voir dire. And the fact is, that didn't constitute misconduct, and it inhered in the verdict.
Why wasn't the information material? That's the second part of the...
The information wasn't material. It had no connection whatsoever to the issues in the case. The cases that they rely on...
Well, the argument is that it did because it related to motive, discriminatory motive. So why is that not correct?
First of all, Mr. Morgan's hiring was not the issue in the case. This is a question about Mr. Long alleging that he had adverse treatment in opposition to discrimination. We conceded that he had a reasonable belief about discrimination in Mr. Morgan. That was conceded. The argument that it's somehow material to anger that is expressed at trial is simply the type of thing that any juror would make a judgment about.
I think the argument is that it's related to the retaliation. So what exactly did you concede at trial?
That Mr. Long had a reasonable belief that Mr. Morgan was discriminated against.
How did you concede that? An argument or?
That was clear and closing argument, and that's cited in our briefing.
What's the testimony? Was it you who put the CEO of Brusco on the stand and had him talk about how angry he was about the hiring of Morgan?
I believe that the anger testimony was elicited by appellant's counsel, formerly plaintiff's counsel. One of the other reasons that this is absolutely not material in the case, and appellant's thrust here really is it's extrinsic law. It's not extrinsic law in any of the Washington cases we've seen. Remember Adkins. That was a case where the jury asked for a dictionary, and the bailiff brought him a 1933 copy of Black's. Well, they looked up the definition of negligence in a negligence case. The introduction of extrinsic law being pertinent to the law in the case. That's not the case here. Similarly, the Boot and Perkins case, in which a jury looked at a pamphlet about forest protection laws. Well, that was a case about fire and whether reasonable steps were taken to prevent the fire or mitigate it. There's a relation. You have concrete statements of law with a direct nexus to the law in the case. We have nothing like that here. Maritime law was not at issue. Coast Guard law was not at issue. Navy law was not at issue. And we don't even know what the statement of law was. It's not the type of concrete, specific statement that's required to have some reasonable relation to the case in order to be either misconduct or have any reasonable effect on the verdict. And the question is not one of speculation. It has to be a reasonable doubt, as they've argued. Not any doubt, not speculative doubt. It has to have some sort of nexus. And if it doesn't, then we query whether at what point a juror speaking about life experience and the way that people talk about life experience wouldn't ever constitute misconduct. And so we ask that you affirm in that regard. Judge Downing properly, permissively exercised his discretion in finding that there was no jury misconduct affecting the verdict.
To follow up on something you said earlier, other than conceding in closing argument that Mr. Long had a reasonable basis to believe there was discrimination, what evidence was there that supported that argument at trial?
I'm sorry, Aaron. What evidence was there to support
your argument, your concession during closing?
Well, Your Honor,
that Mr. Long had a reasonable belief, reasonable grounds to believe there was discrimination.
Well, Your Honor, I can't cite to you testimony in the record where we said, okay, now we're going to make a tactical decision at trial to concede that issue. But we conceded the issue. It was not before the jury. And the jury was instructed multiple times that Mr. Morgan's hiring was not this was not a case about discrimination against Mr. Morgan. That much is clear, and I believe that's undisputed. The remaining rulings in this case are all the types of rulings that trial judges make all the time, and none of them can be said to constitute an abuse of discretion. Judge Downing made reasoned rulings regarding this testimony about Westwood notes and the exclusion of the handwritten portions, which did not fall within ER 904.
I'd like to ask you, this is kind of a background fact question, I guess, but in order to have a discrimination case, you have to have an adverse employment decision. Now, what actually happened to Mr. Long? There was a reference here that he was reassigned to the Ocean Division because of lack of managerial skills. Is that what happened?
Yes, Mr. Long made...
Was he terminated?
No, he was not, Your Honor. He was offered a reassignment, and he responded with a lawsuit.
Well, did he take the reassignment? Did he quit, or what?
He filed...
Did he no longer work for Brusco after December incident?
He did not respond. He filed a lawsuit, was his response.
All right.
He did not respond to the offer of reassignment.
Is that all in the record? Was this all brought out in front of the jury?
Yes, Your Honor. The issue was Mr. Long making a decision that was unreasonable, which was he chose to be gone. He argued that he had somebody cover for him. They had to have two tugs ready to assist.
Was it put before the jury what the terms of this offer were and what it would be, what impact it would have on his salary and working conditions?
That he made the issue about choices between being at the ocean and being in the port. There was argument and testimony about how he preferred the port to the ocean. That was discussed at the trial. But to answer Your Honor's question, it was a question of reassignment. It was not a termination. It was a reassignment.
So that was not a disputed issue, I take it, that element was not disputed, that he did experience an adverse employment decision.
Well, he experienced a reassignment that he did not accept. That was what happened.
I guess maybe it'd be better, I'd be putting it better if I said that's not an issue on appeal, that element, whether there was one. Whether there was an adverse employment decision. We can assume that there was, for the sake of analyzing this case.
We can assume that there was an offer of reassignment. Whether that constitutes adversity or not, I think would be open for debate. Right. Your Honors, I see I'm out of time. At the end of the day, all of these rulings are subject to an abuse of discretion. Judge Downing did not abuse his discretion. Ultimately, it was a fair trial, and we ask that you affirm.
Thank you. This whole case was about Mr. Long's judgment and his managerial skills, and that's why this juror misconduct was so harmful. This was a 14-year employee that had never been written up or disciplined until he basically hired and opposed discrimination of Mr. Morgan, who had a prosthetic leg. And it goes to motive. And let me just point out something, and I'll read you what was said. In closing, Mr. Long has to prove by a preponderance of the evidence three elements. He has to prove the plaintiff opposed what he reasonably believed to be discrimination. So how can he reasonably believe that it's discrimination where every Coast Guard, maritime, law in the books would not allow someone with a prosthetic leg on board a boat? So that is absolutely false that they conceded anything on their closing. That's just not the truth. Also, outside law can never be a life experience. And there's not a single case they can cite to that says that. And there are so many...
So what's the most egregious statement that is attributed to this juror? Counsel is characterizing it as, I know of no law that would allow someone with a prosthetic leg on deck. Did he actually say, you know, I remember a particular Coast Guard regulation or Navy regulation that specifically prohibits anybody with a prosthetic leg?
He emphatically stated that there's not a law in the books, not a Coast Guard law, not a maritime law, not an admiralty law, no law would allow anyone to ever have someone with a prosthetic leg on board a ship. And he did that on outside notes that he prepared at home, and these affidavits are they had time to get other people to contradict them, and they're not contradicted. And it's very important that these issues were sharply disputed, which is what the judge conceded. And the judge even talks about the four elements that Mr. Long has to prove in each one of them. And this destroys reasonable belief, provides a non-discriminatory retaliatory motive, and destroys his judgment. And the Westwood records are key to the issue of Mr. Long's judgment because they show that John Juker had noticed the day before at 10:24 a.m. and despite speaking to Mr. Long, didn't tell him for 24 hours later when the boat was going to arrive. So this, the theme of the case was that Mr. Long abandoned his post. Well, he didn't even know when to be there. He didn't abandon his post. Had he known that the boat was coming?
Westwood knows. Wasn't the trial court said, well, how, you know, the notes are obscure. You look at them, they don't speak for themselves.
Well, I think they do. They go to weight, and they didn't preserve foundation by objecting to it, so it was waived. So I could have just put the notes out. They were automatically admissible. And I think
what would somebody think looking at those notes?
Well, I would have explained them in closing.
But you're not a witness.
But I could have explained what they meant. Mr. Long could have said, this was when I received the phone call. And this is, and he could have elucidated them to the jury, and I think it was a pivotal issue. But no foundation was required. If they had wanted a foundation, they should have objected to foundation, or they shouldn't have misrepresented.
The real reason they were excluded is because they were not relevant without a witness who was there to explain them.
Well,
it's
no,
not a matter of foundation. It's not like where did they come from. It's like, what do they mean when the person sat down and wrote whatever those. You know, it just—if you look at them, it's just nonsense.
Well, I don't agree with
without
that.
The person who took the notes, or somebody who knows what they mean. I don't know how your client could know what they meant. He didn't take them.
No, but he could know that when there's a specific date and a time, and an arrow to the time and crossouts with the Westwood and the dates, it'd be easy to explain that this is when I received a call. Also, that goes to weight, and in a case like this where it's so closely contested. Especially a discrimination case, we need every piece of evidence we can get. And that was an important piece of evidence that wasn't objected to. And relevance, it wasn't relevance, the judge excluded it. Specifically, he said foundation, no one objected to relevance.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next case is the guardianship of...